the Mississippi Crop Situation Podcast.
Hey guys, Jason Bond at Stoneville, Mississippi, here with Dr. Bobby Golden, and we're going to talk about rice again today. We've been talking about some other things on our last couple of episodes, last two or three episodes, so we're going to go back through some late season issues on rice today. So Bobby's not saying anything.
Well, I'm sorry. It's, you know, Friday, and we're all about to leave to go to MAIC, so, you know, my mind is a little foggy right now.
Well, MAIC is not till next Thursday.
Oh, is it not till next Thursday?
Yeah, all the other
pre-meeting meetings starting Sunday, right? So, and I didn't get much sleep just coming in hot out of Memphis last night, but yeah,
personal problem.
I know it's a personal problem, but you know, it happens sometimes. Anyway, you know, I think there's a lot of things that we need to discuss since we hadn't talked about rice in a couple weeks, and I think the first is, where are we at right now? You know, a lot of our rice out there, I would say probably at least half our acreage is starting to head, at least 5% heading. What do you think?
I think that 95% of our barnyard grass is fully headed.
I would probably agree with that and say that most of the sprangle top is probably headed too out there, or in a lot of it.
Yeah, we've alluded to it several times, but we got a serious grass problem this year.
Yeah, I would say, and you know, on the way back from Memphis the other day, you could tell driving down the highway going 70 miles an hour that we've got a grass problem in the state of Mississippi.
And guys are really frustrated with it, and rightfully so. I mean, I would be frustrated too. I am frustrated with it. But if I was checking it or growing it, I would be more frustrated. But I think the fact that so many people are frustrated with it is an indication that it is a bigger problem than management.
Well, I think, you know, as a weed scientist like yourself, when the first week of July we come up with a clincher shortage in the Mid-South, your thoughts are it's a problem, right?
Well, sure. Yeah, if you run out of your salvage treatment, your primary salvage treatment, then yeah, that's a indicator that something has gone off the rails, you know, before then. But you know, I think the most of it, man, you got to put on the heat. So many treatments went out when it was hot.
Hot, dry, took 7 to 12 days to get water across it, and it just, that, what would you say, that early April planting date is the one that we've got issues with the grass, or is it that early May planting date?
Man, I think it's everything with the exception of the March plantings, which this year wasn't a lot, but, you know, a lot of those treatments went out, the pre-flood treatments, you know, at least the post-emergence herbicide treatments went out in the first half of May. And it seems like, you know, from the middle of May on, you know, we really started falling off, and I don't know if we killed a blade of grass that we sprayed in June.
Yeah, I think I've heard you say a couple times that post-Memorial Day, it's just a nightmare out there.
But I, you know, when I was putting slides together for the meeting next week, I did look up the weather from here at the station. And in May, we were 8 degrees warmer in May than we were the previous 10-year average. So our average high temperature for May in 2018 was 90 degrees. In the previous 10 years, we'd never had a year that the average was 90, and the average for that 10-year period is 82. So basically 10% increase in temperature in 2018 compared with the previous 10. So that tells you right there that we, you know, encountered some conditions that we, not that we've never seen before, but at least we weren't accustomed to dealing with in recent memory.
Or the guys that have been farming the last 10 years haven't been accustomed to dealing with.
Right.
And you look at where we're at right now today on, I guess this is July the 20th, am I right?
Yeah, that's right.
It's hot. We're getting these pop-up showers every day. Humidity's hanging around. And last night when I walked in the house at 9 o'clock, it felt like you was sucking Campbell's soup through a straw when you was trying to breathe.
It's miserable, you know, and it's the same way at, you know, 5:30 in the morning. You know, you stick your head out the door and it just slaps you in the face because it's just so brutally humid and the temperature, you know, 82. I think it was like 77, you know, when I was driving in this morning, which is better, but still, that's pretty high.
Yeah, high nighttime temperatures when we're starting to have a lot of rice flowering is not going to be good, coupled with all the humidity and leaf wetness hanging around. You know, we started getting text and phone calls last week about some potential neck blast and panicle blight in areas. So we have a very favorable environment for disease right now.
Well, I mean, you mentioned the pop-up showers, you know, and it's being so humid, you know, you're getting wetness throughout the morning hours from that. And then in these areas that are catching these showers in the afternoon, most of them haven't amounted to a whole lot, at least where I've been standing. But I think I got at least some rain at my house, like 4 afternoons out of 5.
Yeah.
You know, from Sunday on this week. So, and I don't know if I've got an inch total yet, but it stayed wet, I guess is my point.
Yeah, and staying wet that long is not going to be good for any of our late season rice diseases. But, you know, another thing that we haven't talked about, we've hammered on grass, we've talked about disease. We haven't really talked about coffee bean control a lot in rice. A lot of times we kind of, oh, we'll take care of those later, and we're not worried about them, you know, early in the season. So a lot of the calls we've been getting in the last, I would say, 7 to 10 days, as more and more of this rice headed, is what are my options for coffee bean control? I think the default everybody wants to go to is Blazer. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, Ultra Blazer is the commonly accepted treatment for coffee bean or hemp cespedes, the accepted common name of it.
All right, now hold on before you go any further. I think make the distinction between coffee bean and indigo now, because we did get a call last week with a guy that had some indigo in a field.
Yeah, so coffee bean is hemp cespedes. Indigo would be one of the two joint vetch species. The majority of ours is going to be northern joint vetch. I don't see a lot of Indian joint vetch in Mississippi. And then as well, I don't see nearly the infestation of joint vetch in our state as in some of the other states. Most of the time when you see those big tall plants out above the rice canopy, it's going to be coffee beans. In our state, but we do have joint vetch in some fields.
Can you talk a little bit about how to identify the differences between joint vetch and coffee beans?
Well, so they both have a compound leaf, so they're going to have those real small leaflets, so that looks very similar between the two. Joint vetch will generally have a rough stem, and hemp cespedes or coffee bean will have a smooth stem. And I think the joint vetch, and this is a terrible identifier, but to me, the joint vetch, the little leaflets on the compound leaf, they get pointed the closer they get to the terminal. And like I said, that's not necessarily a reliable indicator. And then another one would be, and just in my opinion, I think hemp cespedes is a bigger plant just in general than either one of the joint vetch species is.
I think it's important to know those differences, because if you look in your weed control guide, Jason, what we typically go after for coffee beans won't work on joint vetch. Is that correct?
Well, Ultra Blazer is not as good on joint vetch as it is on coffee beans. And so then you lean towards a permit type treatment if it's a joint vetch infestation compared with hemp cespedes / coffee bean.
Yeah, so,
and I know I keep jumping back and forth between coffee bean and hemp cespedes, but you know, the two are the same, but some people don't know it by one, and some people don't know it by the other.
That's right, and it's easy to get confused. But you know, I guess thinking about trying to attack these two, I don't want to call them late season pests, because they're generally there for a while, right?
By the time definitely, they've been there. They've been there. And, you know, we talked several weeks ago about that pre-flood herbicide application, and that's generally where we address, you know, issues with broadleaf weeds. But usually an infestation of hemp cespedes late in the season is not really going to, whatever that population is at that point, say, so now, you know, the latter half of July, if you rewind the clock 5 or 6 weeks, you know, those plants were small. They probably weren't even registering that that is a population adequate to require treatment. But then when they're big and showy and you're driving down the highway and you can see them, then you want to get those out of the field. And then, too, combine that with the fact, you know, the dockage that's associated with black seed in a rice sample, too. And that's the big reason we treat them, is to keep the seed out of the, you know, out of the channels after we harvest.
Yeah, and not having to drive around them with the combine. Or if they're as big as the ones you grow in your field, I think many people have said you can see them from outer space when you're flying into Greenville, right?
Not many people can grow them like we can grow them. But the, you know, that speaking of that seed, you know, it's not uncommon, it's rare, but you, if you look at enough bags of rice, you can find hemp sesbania seed in bags of rice in the grocery store, because it makes the seed is, I guess you would call it an elliptical shaped seed,
and it's so much smaller than a rice seed.
Well, no, it's really not. It's about the same size as a rice seed, and that's what I was getting at. It'll roll through the mill with the rice seed, and that's how it ends up, you know, in the bag. So the black seeded weeds are the ones that carry the biggest stigma on keeping them out of your rice sample.
Because we sell white rice,
and so the biggest ones for us are hemp sesbania and then the various morning glory species. And the morning glories they're the seed shape different, so the mill pretty much crushes them. But that hemp sesbania seed will roll through there pretty good. And then some of the other ones, spreading day flower, it'll survive and make seed in a flood, but that we don't have. We have a lot of it, but not, you know, in every single field like we likely have sesbania.
Yeah, I would say in Mississippi, if you've got a rice field and there's not sesbania,
it's probably a new rice field.
Definitely a new rice field. And saying that, you know, what we haven't talked about is when we start getting this late in the year and we're trying to attack those coffee beans are we going to say hemp or coffee beans? I'll get like you. I'll
I
say
don't care.
Both.
Just it's like pigweeds and Palmer amaranth. They're just,
yeah,
they
they're
just
interchangeable.
Are.
They just
are. Yeah.
All right. So when we're attacking those, you know, we start getting calls.
Or urea and fertilize.
Yeah. And it's not fertilizer.
No,
it's fertilize.
Yeah.
With the E on the end.
That's right.
That don't even exist in nature or Webster's dictionary. Yeah, but that's what we grew up with, right?
That's right.
In Ashley County, it's fertilize.
That's right.
But not to go off on a tirade, but a lot of the questions we've been getting the last week targeting coffee beans has been, what is the cutoff date for Ultra Blazer? Because that's the number one thing we typically go after it with.
Well, the cutoff date for Ultra Blazer and our previous discussion about the stage of the rice crop in Mississippi really don't go together.
Yeah, that's kind of what it says in your weed control guide. It says, I think, boot.
Yeah, beginning of boot is the cutoff for an Ultra Blazer application. So we obviously, if we're 5% headed, we're well past the beginning of boot. And then your discussion wraps around to, well, beginning of boot, that's kind of vague.
Yeah, so
that's
first,
like a, that's
I think,
like the mythical R1 soybean, right?
I think you're right, but what is boot, you know?
Yeah, so the way I define it, it's going to be different than the way you define it. And then, you know, if you look today and don't look again till Monday, did you miss it?
Yeah, if you're going on a, you know, 5-day interval of scouting, you very well could with the temperatures we have and how fast this rice is progressing.
So I think, and this is label interpretation according to me, I think when you have one like that that's not explicit, you know, one tiller rice, stop.
Right.
You know, that's a clearly defined growth stage, and so there's obviously some risk associated. Not that there's not any risk associated with a Ultra Blazer application, but if it says beginning boot, then that's a vague growth stage, so I think you've got some leeway there.
So you'd probably feel comfortable up to split boot?
Well, I, you know, probably need to lay off of it if your rice is heading.
Right.
But yeah, I think during the boot stage, you know, it's still an appropriate application. And I think you could argue, you know, you and I could stand in the field and argue that this growth stage is appropriate, you know, and argue one way or the other. What I would caution, and, you know, this is just a pet peeve of weed science guys and the way Blazer, you know, rice will respond to Blazer. So you get that bronzing. You can see it driving down the highway. Just
red tipping.
Yeah, yeah. The field's got a little red cast to it. You know, weed scientists, as a rule, that work in rice, we're averse to anything that affects the flag leaf. So if that flag is out good and the head's coming out, you know, then I would kind of lay off of it because you want max photosynthesis on that flag leaf because that's the leaf that's filling the panicle.
Well, you've already got enough stuff this time of year working to get you with high nighttime temperatures, long leaf wetness periods that could produce smuts and neck blast and you name it, make sheath blight run out the top. Let's, you know, one more thing to worry about is messing up your flag leaf trying to go after late weeds.
Yeah, you know, and the other option is permit. And permit's not going to – you're going to have basically zero crop response with permit, so that's a good thing. The cutoff for permit's 48 days pre-harvest. And you can argue that a pre-harvest interval, particularly one of 48 days, you know, it's not 40, it's not 60, 48 days, well, where'd that come from? You know, is that based on rice growth stage and we're just kind of estimating back? Because, you know, pre-harvest interval – it may vary if your rice is grown on a silt loam texture or a coarser texture versus a really, you know, heavy clay, you know, where it's going to have to sit there longer drying it up.
Right, you know, which could mean two and a half weeks.
Extra just weeks, you know, depending on the soil texture. So that one, you know, I think you've probably got some leeway there too. And but again, the label is the label, so you need to try to stick as close to it as possible.
But that is interesting. I've never thought of looking at that permit label and saying, why 48? Why not 45?
Right, you know? Right. And there, you know, there's some quirky things like that on herbicide labels. You see some weird numbers with rotation intervals too that you just wonder how that number was derived. You know, the one thing that I had a conversation with someone about this week, and I don't even recall who that was, but thinking about making an application for this weed seed suppression. You know, grass has just been hammering us all year. So we've got some extra applications, you know, on the books already. And then we've got stink bugs. We've had army worms. You know, blast is showing up in places. We talked about the wetness in the crop. How do you justify it? You know, what level of infestation is justifiable for this application, because you know you're going to have to make another treatment of a fungicide and or an insecticide at some point, more than likely.
Well, I think, does that depend on, do I have $80 in this crop or over $100 already?
Well, and that's why I think it's a case-by-case basis in 2018.
Right.
You know, I think we've had years where, you know, we made it to flood pretty good. It's the weather's been nice. You know, smoke them down. And then another year, you know, more like this year, it's hot, it's dry, we've got a lot of water in the crop, we've got a lot of herbicide in the crop. It's just, we've had a rough year.
And we still need to get out with our shirt on.
Yeah, yeah, I think you're going to have to draw a line at some point. And that would be a line to draw.
I think so. I think I agree with you there. Well, guys, we're getting a little long-winded, so... You got anything else, Jason, to put the final stamp on what to spray on hemp Cespania with 5% headed rice?
No, just come to the field day. We can talk about it some more.
Yeah, our field day is August the 2nd. We'll have representatives from USA Rice here, and we're going to do something a little different this year than we have in the past with field day. Jason, tell them what we're going to do on a field tour.
Well, we've got a lot of graduate students that are fully supported by the Mississippi Rice Promotion Board. We've mentioned that before. But we're going to let those folks talk about their projects. And we'll be there, you know, for any questions about what's going on, you know, with the crop as a whole in the state. But on the specific stops with the field tour, we're going to let the graduate students tell folks what they're working on and what their hopes and dreams are, I guess.
Yeah, guys, so please come out, support these students. They're going to be the next generation of the Bobby and Jasons out there for you. And they're also going to show you where your checkoff dollars are going to. And I think they're being spent wisely. So
yeah, it's a good group of folks that we got doing graduate projects in Rice for sure.
Yeah, so join us at 3:30 on August the 2nd. We'll have a brief talks from USA Rice, go on the field tour, and we'll adjourn at the Delta Council for a light reception at the end. So we look forward to seeing you at the field day, and like always, if you got a question, give us a shout, and we'll get to you as soon as possible.
The Mississippi Crop Situation Podcast is produced by the Mississippi State University Extension Service.